take out your Bible, why don't you turn over to Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm going to read one verse from Proverbs 29. One of the most important things we do once and usually twice a year, and we'll get back to twice a year this year, is we talk about our vision. You know, I read a book by Andy Stanley years ago called Visioneering, and vision leaks. Vision leaks. You watch any sports team, you watch any company, and over time, because of distractions, because of becoming inward focused, or whatever reason, people begin to lose the purpose for why they exist. And so it's very important that we come back once, twice a year, in January and June, to look at our vision and to kind of center us back to the balance of where we need to be. Proverbs 29:18, these are in the King James Version. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, where you are, verses 1 through 3, this also is in the King James, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And may God add his blessing at the reading of his word this morning. So today, vision in the backdrop is faith. Because as we begin 2020, we don't know what God has in store and what his plan is. But as ministry team leaders, as elders, as deacons, deaconesses, as we try to discern what God wants us to do, we want to do that and step out by faith. And I think it's wise for us to plan, and God can have his plan B and C, and we will work to follow those things, but I think he wants us to set a direction. So it's good to be reminded of all the work that was done back in 2007 and 2008 here at this church with the intentional interim, Jeff Shear, and developing the new vision statement, purpose statement, and Connect, Grow, Serve. And so it's good for us to come back and focus on that. In Africa, there was a couple many, many years ago that were beginning a new missions agency. And it's in the country now, Botswana. It wasn't called that back then, but Robert and Mary Maddox went there by faith. And when they went there, they began the process of trying to win the village over to Christ, to understand the culture, to contextualize the gospel. And they were there for 10 years, and they were getting discouraged because they didn't have one convert. And so as a result, the overarching missions agency began to talk about moving them to a new field because nothing fruitful was happening. Well, the couple said no. Said, we don't want to leave. We're not discouraged. And so they went on another 2 years without seeing anyone come to Christ. Toward the end of those 2 years, somebody from England, where they were from, sent them a letter and said, we'd like to send you a gift. What would be a gift that would encourage you that you would like? And they said, we would like a communion set so that when we do have our first converts, that we can celebrate communion together as we plant this church. Well, wouldn't you know it, they put it in the mail, and it got lost in the mail, and it was delayed. But in the process of the communion set making its way to Botswana, they said that 6 people came to faith in Jesus Christ, and they began to disciple them, and then they set a date where they were going to have their first communion. And the night before that communion set arrived. Isn't that amazing? By faith. It gives me goosebumps to think how God works, how God intersects with our lives. If we will have faith and trust in him, and he will do amazing, amazing things. We need more faith than ever in 2020. It's time for us to pray and trust God to do the impossible. We need some big, hairy, audacious goals, God-sized assignments that God is the only one can answer, that he has to show up in order for these things to happen. And so first, let's reflect for a moment on the many things that people in our church, all of you, have done over the last year. And this amazed me as I sat down a couple weeks ago and began to write down these things. You know, many of you are involved in Awana, for example. And you see all those kids coming in every week, nearly 40 kids that we minister to. Many of you are involved in Chaos, the student ministry. We have about 20 students coming to that if everybody comes. Those of you involved in the nursery, we don't take that for granted. That allows young couples to be up here and to worship or be in their connect group. We think of Sunday school. We think of connect groups. Kids, adults gathering together in fellowship, building relationships, studying the word together, praying together, sharing the good things and the bad things so you have accountability with one another. Women's ministry, the events that we have throughout the year. Men's ministry, the breakfast and the Thursday night Bible study. Think of the fellowship team that's downstairs right now preparing for us to eat, and thank you for their service and their willingness to miss part of the service so they can prepare this meal for us. Deacons, deaconesses, and elders, leadership. Thank you for those that do communion. Thank you for those that are always out there in the lobby being the welcome ministry team, welcoming people, giving you a program each and every week. The coffee ministry, as we've switched over to Keurigs, and several people are now involved with that. The office administrator position, that's very important. You know, that person pretty much keeps the calendar and keeps the flow of events occurring in our church in a proper way in the communication. Vacation Bible School, church picnic. Those are two great things of our church, VBS, the gathering of kids from our community and our church. Serve Sunday in 11 different locations. And then many of you help out at Hope at the Brick House, folding the flyers to go out in the mail or bringing food or being there mentoring kids. The World Relief donations that we had in October. People involved in special music in the Christmas season. Thankful for those that clean Crow Creek Road in our community to be a ministry to our neighbors and to let them know that we care about this area around our church. Pine Lake Camp. Some of you have never been up there to Pine Lake Camp. It's an amazing place. And I'm glad we're committed to that ministry, and I'm glad we have timeshares the kids can earn through volunteer hours to get them to camp where otherwise they couldn't afford to go. So I thank you for your faithful giving as well as those who are the transportation and the sponsors who go. Operation Christmas Child, we just enjoyed that packing party back in November. Salvation Army bell ringing. Gift cards to Pleasant View Elementary School, and also we always do for the last 12, 13 years, Happy Joe's Pizza at the end of the year for the administrators and the teachers. And this past year, we gave Bethany Baptist Church $5,001 to their general fund. And some of you just completed Financial Peace University. That's an amazing, exhaustive list, isn't it? But sometimes we don't realize all the things that we're involved with and how our lives intersect to accomplish the ministry. It's touching people's lives. These aren't programs, but how God uses you in ministering to people. Some of the projects that we've accomplished or started in 2019, the stage area up here and the video screen project, the painting of it and the cross and all that was involved in that. Worship and sound improvements. We had Eagle Scout in October build a fire pit that I'm looking forward to this spring and the fall and the summer and the fall to be able to utilize more for some opportunities to bring people together. We got a new alarm system. We hired Austin to be our worship leader part-time in February and then full-time in June. And Jeremy Jones was helpful in developing a new website for us this year. And we divide the office administrator job into three positions. Jim Gray is our treasurer, Ann Gray is our church clerk, and now Carrie Barfels is our office administrator. And so that's kind of freed her up to be able to do more things. Repairs to our parking lot. And then, of course, we bought a new camera, and we're on Facebook Live as of this year. Window inserts for the offices for accountability. You asked for estimates for an elevator, and we looked into that as well. And we added the Keurig coffee makers in the lobby to give more variety and opportunities. Just to stop and think about, just in 1 year, all the things that God has accomplished through finances, through people's efforts, and God's blessing on these things. These things and more should build our faith in 2020 because we can look back and see all that God has done, but what he wants to do through our prayers, our finances, our physical efforts in order to touch people's lives and be more effective to minister to others. He's given us a great foundation going into 2020 to build upon. So I encourage you, as you take out your notes and we look at this vision statement, and some of you have read this many times, every year since I've been here, In February 8th, I will have been here 11 years. In January, we go through this vision statement. But I hope it's more than words on a page. This is one of the few churches that I've ever been in or I've ever seen that follows the Connect, Grow, Serve, follows their vision statement. We do the best we can. We could improve on what we do, but we are committed to these things. So let's look at them in your notes there, if you would, and they'll be up on the screen. The vision statement says, or the purpose statement says, at Pleasant View Baptist Church, we believe, according to God's word, our purpose in life is to worship and glorify God and to share the good news of God's love in Christ Jesus with the world, beginning with the people of our community. And under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we will seek to lead people to conversion, baptism, and a maturing relationship with Jesus Christ through worship, outreach, discipleship, fellowship, and service. We need to be a church that worships. We need to be a church that worships and not just sings on Sunday morning. You know, sometimes I think we as Baptists, we're so cerebral in the way we approach things. But God's given us emotions as well. And we need to use them as part of worship when God prompts you and speaks to you and encourages you. It's okay to show those emotions. We're going to take some time more often in our services for thoughtful prayer. We're going to encourage people to give more financially. And we want to encourage you to listen more keenly to God's word and the challenges that it gives us for our hearts. Next week, we begin an 8-week series on peacemakers. And in our Connect groups, we're going to be doing a curriculum called Resolving Everyday Conflicts. It's something that the elders have been working on the entire year of last year, leading up to now. And we think it's a great opportunity for our Connect groups and our adult Bible studies, but also our sermon time to look into these principles about how to have healthy relationships. And so we'll kick that off next week. But as I think of worship, I think about David. And I think about David when the Ark of the Covenant was coming into Jerusalem, into the city of David. It says in 2 Samuel 6 that he was leaping and dancing and running around wildly, praising the Lord. And Michael, his wife, Solomon's daughter, saw him and was upset of the way that he was going about praising and lifting up his praises to the Lord. And you and I, we sometimes get self-centered and we get focused on what other people may think. But David in this passage, and I won't take time to read it, he just challenged her and he says, I've got to be who I need to be and I need to worship the Lord. And when the joy is in his heart, he couldn't not lift it up and let it be known physically by his emotions what he was doing. So I encourage you to think about worship this year and how we can become more of a worshiping church, not just a singing church. Then we look at our vision statement. We looked at our purpose statement, but the vision statement. Pleasant View Baptist Church is a multi-generational family of believers in Jesus Christ, seeking to connect others to God and his family, striving to grow spiritually and relationally, and finding our places of serving God in his church, in our communities, and in the world. Connecting people with God and his family, growing spiritually and relationally, serving God and his church in our communities and in the world. And then it's brought all the way down to just three words: connecting, growing, and serving. So it's important that we understand what those mean and what that looks like. And so we're going to break that down in just a moment to talk about and to fill in some blanks and to talk specifically about what that should look like in our church. Look at the core values. I love these core values. These were established during the time of this vision statement back in 2006, 2007, 2008, in that period. It says, we, the congregation of Pleasant View Baptist Church, hold the following core values. We believe in gathering together for worship. We believe the integrity of our individual lives is shown in biblical principles and our personal commitment and accountability to God. I love that. It means that we are responsible to get into God's word, but then when we come together corporately, we're accountable not only to the word, but to each other. We believe, number three, in the discipleship and equipping of every believer. And then some say, well, why is number four in there? It's kind of redundant, and it's because this church has been known in the community for discipling children and youth. And so they wanted to emphasize that by saying, we believe in the discipleship of children and youth. Number five, we believe in holding to biblically sound teaching, preaching, and authority in our individual and corporate lives. Number six, we believe in encouraging and providing opportunities for individual and corporate prayer. That's why in Connect Group, that's why in Youth Group, that's why in even in Awana and other places, we try to make sure that prayer is an important part of the component of those times we gather together. We believe, number seven, in being a church family that shows love and concern for others in our words and our actions. We believe in supporting mission work financially with personal involvement. And so the personal involvement thing is something that I've been praying about and talking to missionaries and where can we go as a group of people from our church to do some short-term mission work. And we've been seeking God on that for the last year and a half to find that out. So what God wants us to do in Connect, Grow, Serve, specifically in 2020. On January 26th, after our ministry team leaders meeting, we're going to give you some measurable goals. And you're going to even give us some feedback, I hope, today after the chili cook-off time of some things you see that God wants us to do in this year. And we're going to give you some measurable goals. But today I want to give you the overarching vision. Connecting people. Connecting people. One of my favorite characters in the New Testament is Andrew. If you do a character study on Andrew, he's not in the New Testament many times, but most of the time you see Andrew, he is bringing someone to Jesus. He's bringing someone to Jesus. In this case, he brings Simon Peter. In John 1:39, it says, Jesus said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. Where would we be today if Andrew hadn't brought Simon Peter to a relationship with Jesus Christ? Where would we be if Edward Kimball, that shoe clerk, hadn't led D.L. Moody to Christ? Where would we be if those that were influential and Billy Graham come into faith in Christ? Think about that. God wants us to bring people to him. And so connecting people, first of all, with God. With God is the blank, the balance of community and evangelism and discipleship. By spending time for ourselves with God in personal worship and prayer, we bring ourselves to God. And then encouraging others around you who are Christ followers to do the same. So many people today are falling away from the true teachings of the Word of God. Just in the last 2 weeks, our elders received notice from Dan Carlson of Converge North Central, our executive minister over Iowa and Minnesota. And so he was telling us about Greg Boyd, who is a professor at Bethel University, Bethel Seminary. And he espoused for the last 10 years or so open theism, where God doesn't know all the choices people are going to make, that he's learning history as it goes. And he's now written a book entitled let me read the title of that. Greg Boyd, his new book is Inspired Imperfection, How the Bible's Problem Enhances Divine Authority. In other words, there are problems with the original manuscripts. And so our denomination has parted ways with them. Just an example of why it's so important for us to get into God's Word and make sure we understand the truths of it to avoid moving away from historical orthodox views of the church and what the Bible says. I think it's important, too, that we understand what it is to be emotionally and spiritually healthy, that we look into our hearts and our lives and we deal with the stresses and the anxieties and the problems in our past, so that we can be healthy in our relationship with God and with others. And so as we connect with God, we also need to be involved in sharing the gospel. And I'm finding as I talk to people who have very little, if any, background of the Bible, they don't know who Adam and Eve is, they don't know who Noah is. And so as we begin to talk with them about the gospel, we need to begin back at creation and explain to them the fall of man, explain about why redemption and why the Israelites had to sacrifice and what the blood represented. Lead them up to the story of Jesus so they understand it and what the burial and the resurrection is all about. I think sometimes we as Christians, when we share our faith, we don't answer the why of the gospel. Why is it important for me to receive Christ? Why in this current time, not just eternity, why? Well, it's because you can find purpose in life. You can understand what it is to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And on we could go. But we need to answer that question of why when we share our faith. So connecting with God, but also with His family. With His family and community. We need to come and be authentic and transparent as we gather together. We need to offer opportunities for fellowship. And so there needs to be that balance of going outside the walls, but also connecting within the walls here. Fellowship is more than eating a meal together. It can be that, but it needs to be sharing life on life, heart on heart, and developing a spiritual and relational bond by knowing each other more intimately. And how do we do that? Well, today we're going to have a fellowship lunch. And that's kind of surface, you know. Maybe you'll sit with someone that you don't ordinarily sit with and talk to them. You won't go super deep. But then when we get to our connect groups, that's when we have time to share what's on our hearts, what we're going through, the difficulties, the things we can rejoice about. Men's Bible study is a very transparent and honest place on Thursday nights. The women's events as they gather. The Chaos Student Ministry, Awana, as they meet, especially TNT in their small groups. We have an opportunity for community coming up. On March the 6th, they're having Faith and Family Night at the Quad City Storm, the hockey team. And we'll be giving you an opportunity to sign up for that and to go together as a group. We have the fire pit that we hope will spend some time around it to build community, the church picnic, Easter breakfast. And the byproduct of VBS and Serve Sunday is you work and intertwine with people and teamwork that you normally would not do and get to know them. So we have to be balanced in our scheduling and our programming with our purpose for doing things in the area of community for the church and the connecting, but also for evangelism, for going outside the walls of our church. So here's the application. May we be committed to personal worship time daily, and be committed to gathering together regularly for worship and with the church family this year. Because that's what we need to be accountable, to grow, to become more spiritually mature, to avoid being drawn away by the things of this world. Second of all, we see growing. Connect and then growing. Ephesians 4 says this, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." That's our ultimate goal, to grow and to be mature and bring other people along in discipleship to be mature. Verse 16, "From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So we need to, first of all, grow spiritually. We need to make sure that we are feeding ourselves and being fed by places such as the church and things online and other places, you know, other things like Bible study fellowship or community Bible study that many people in our church are involved in. But the pastor and the elders, that's our number one responsibility, is to feed the flock. That's what we do. And we do that by expository preaching. We do that by thought and prayer as to what is taught in Sunday school and in our connect groups and other group studies in our church. It's teaching people how to dig into God's word for themselves. So that when you have a time of blessing, you can understand why God is blessing your life. When you have a time of difficulty and trials and tribulation, you could turn over to Job, you could turn over to Joseph in Genesis or other places where you see what God was teaching them as they went through the dark times of their life. When we're a church of emotionally and spiritually healthy people, it'll bring happiness and joy and blessing on our church, and that church that's healthy continues to grow numerically and spiritually. But the important thing is that we respond in obedience to God's word individually and as a church with its leaders. I can't emphasize that enough. Even in the little things of my life, I'm asking God to help me to be obedient, because God takes notice of those things. So growing spiritually, but growing relationally. Relationally, that's a very important thing as well. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, Paul said, "Let love be genuine. Abhor or hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We believe strongly, and this is elders. And as I said, we read the book Peacemakers. And as we go through that series, it's kind of like some of you did the Bait of Satan a few years ago. A few years ago in January, I taught that series. We need to learn to grow together in the church relationally. So here's the application. May we make it our goal to develop a relationship with someone who needs Jesus within our church and be intentional to disciple others who will become disciple makers this year. May we make it our goal to develop a relationship with someone who needs Jesus. Maybe it's somebody that you know at work, at school, or whatever. Maybe God is prompting your heart. Some of you wrote down and turned in names, each one, reach one, and we continue to pray over them. Who is it that you can intentionally build a relationship with? And then also within the church, to mentor someone to become a disciple maker as well. Well, if we do that, God will bless us and do amazing things in our midst. Then we get to the last one, that's serving God. Serving God in what ways? There are many ways we can serve God. Remember, God doesn't need us to serve. He has everything he needs. It's a privilege for us to serve him. We should serve him out of love and out of what he has done on our behalf. And we do that through prayer. We do that here at the church through giving of our finances, through spiritual gifts and natural talents and time. And so serving God in these ways. And we do that here in the church, using our time and our talents. And I believe strongly that everyone that's a part of our church family, member or not, should be involved in coming to worship on Sunday morning, should be involved in a connect group or some kind of group where they have a group Bible study where people can gather together and pray and have accountability and to share God's word together, and iron sharpens iron. And then also use your gifts, your talents that God has given you to minister to other people. Those to me are the three key things that every member of the church family should be involved in some way. And then using your treasure. Up on the screen, we have the giving that was in our last newsletter back in October when we had our semi-annual meeting. At the end of September, we were $10,000 ahead in our giving versus our expenses, and now that's dramatically changed. You see that our giving at the end of November 30th, just 2 months later, was $180,855, and our expenses is $198,000, and we have about $54,000 in the general fund checking and Cornerstone savings at this time, or in November 30th, I should say. And so what I appreciate Jim's done is he's been able to take these extra projects that we should have dug into savings for, and we've been able to pay for them out of our general fund giving. And that's a major blessing. You know, $8,000 for a parking lot. The screen project was several thousand dollars. And instead of digging into savings, we've been able to give and give generously. And so I want to thank you for that. And Bonnie, we're not going to show that video. I'll just save it for another time, okay? We'll talk a little bit more about that in one of our offering times, about how we can continue to give faithfully to the general fund, to Faith Promise Giving, and as we're talking about on the elder board, a remodel project for our building. But are you living by faith in the area of your tithes and your offerings to God? Are you living by faith? That's the question as we go through this thing. Everything we do is by faith. Serving God in his church and then in our communities. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, before he ascended up to heaven, said, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Our ministry begins with the mission field that's all around us. Do you realize when we drive off this property that we are entering the mission field? That everywhere we go are people that are in need. And yes, there's different ethnicities, there's different context of situations economically and socially, but we have the opportunity to engage them and to give them the gospel. And we already do. We have many people who help at Hope at the Brick House, as I mentioned. When you do Serve Sunday, we get a lot of positive feedback. Unfortunately, on that day, we don't get to necessarily share the gospel, but it's a way to connect with our community. We also do that in our community by supporting WDLM financially, Pregnancy Resources, the Quad City Prayer Center in the past, and Converge North Central. The Prayer Center has decided to dissolve and move into some other ministry endeavors. And so we have faithfully provided for them until they ended their ministry. And then in the world, you know, we're involved in supporting Dale McCauley and the Timothy Initiative, but we're also giving money to the Timothy Initiative above and beyond that to plant churches. It's what, $300 to plant a church? $300 to plant a church. It's much, much more money than that here in America to plant a church, and we are faithfully giving money to that. To our missionaries, prayer, financial support, the missions team, again, faithfully year after year, was able to give bonuses to our missionaries up and above beyond their support. And then missions trips, as we hope to offer them here in the near future. But here's our application. May we faithfully serve God through our spiritual gifts, through prayer, through our financial resources this year. You've been so faithful in these areas, and we want to not only continue them, but even up them. Spend more time in prayer. Be a part of the prayer warrior ministry, for example. Decide that you're going to up your giving by 1% or 2% or whatever. But let God challenge you and speak to you by faith about what you can do moving into the rest of this year. Just a couple personal goals, and then we'll close. As I mentioned, the prayer warrior team has been on my heart. I think more than anything else, as we've seen some of the things that have occurred in the last year, that we need to have a group of people praying against the enemy, praying against what he wants to do here. Many have said, well, isn't it great that, you know, you face some of these troubles because God must be at work, and that's true. But on the other hand, we need to realize that spiritual warfare is all around us. And we need to be praying for the lost. We need to be praying. 40% of Scott County, the only group that goes to church. That means 60% of our county doesn't go to church. And so there's many people around us that still need to hear about Jesus Christ. And as I go out in the communities, I teach at Scott Community College, you'd be amazed how many people have never had a clear presentation of the gospel right here around us, here in America, with all the resources that we have. Also, the ministry team leaders meeting, we want to set measurable goals to be shared with the church family on January 26th. We've been talking and praying for a year on how we can fit into our program a way to develop disciple makers in our church using the Timothy Initiative material, much like they do in other parts of the world. And so we want to bring that to fruition and gather a group of few people who would be committed to becoming disciple makers this year. The remodel and safety teams, this week I sent an email out, and we're developing a remodel team to replace our 21, 22-year-old carpet and do some things throughout the building, but also a safety team that would answer what we need to do in a tornado, a fire, in the case of an active shooter, and that group is getting together as well. And one of the things on my heart is to help our church grow younger. In other words, give leadership to more of the younger people of our church. Not only just give them the opportunity, the responsibility, but also the authority as we mentor them and the freedom to lead as they serve. And we want to see new families come in with young kids as well and transform the leadership of our church over time to the younger generation. So here's the key thought as we close today. I want to encourage you to take time to write down your vision for 2020 based on Connect, Grow, Serve Personally. What are you going to do in light of Connect, Grow, Serve Personally? How are you going to connect with someone in this church to maybe bring them under your wing and help them grow spiritually or mentor them? Or be intentional about someone that you've had a relationship for years, about praying and seeking God to share the gospel with them. I don't know what God wants you to do or what he wants you to write down, but take some time to think about how Connect, Grow, Serve works in your life. And then on January 25th, when we meet with our ministry team leaders, we're going to talk about how their ministries fit in with this vision as well. I want to close with this great illustration. In Africa, there's the impala, this animal. He's able to jump 10 feet up in the air and cover 30 feet with one jump. But it's interesting, if you take one of those African impalas and you put him in a zoo with a 3-foot wall, he will not jump over that wall. And why not? Well, it's been said, if the impala cannot see where his feet will land when he jumps, he will not jump. That's what faith's all about. When we move into 2020, we have to be willing to jump out by faith. We don't know where it's going to go. We don't know as we write these goals down, if God's going to have a plan B, C, or D. But he wants us to step out on faith. Even though we can't see where it's going to go, we need to trust him. And in that story, John Emmons says this, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see, and with faith we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fears allow us to entrap us. Don't be like the impala behind that 3-foot wall. Trust God for what he wants to do. So what are your goals or commitments? You want to look back at this time next year and say, God, help me accomplish these things and more for him. 3 questions as we close today. What are you doing to intentionally connect with someone on a regular basis in the church and with someone who needs Jesus in 2020? What are you doing intentionally to grow in your discipleship experience, and whom are you endeavoring to mentor or disciple in 2020? And what are you doing to serve in our church community and around the world? You know, you may not be able to go to the darkest parts of Africa or to the inner city of Chicago, but you can give financially, you can pray. Everyone can be involved in these things. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for this vision. We thank you for the vision team and all the hard work that they went through and the many interviews and the many meetings and retreats that they had to come together and develop this vision that they believe that you've given for this church to move forward. We thank you now that, Lord, we've just crossed over into celebrating our 52nd year here, Lord, and we're grateful and thankful for your faithfulness here to this church. And now, Lord, as we look into the rest of these months ahead of us, 11 and a half months, Lord, help us. Help us to be intentional about what we do here at church. Help us to be intentional in our lives and not just wake up and allow life to happen, but that through your leading and your directing our lives, that we have some goals, we have some direction, we have some intentionality as we seek out to do what you want us to do. Lord, help us to know what those things look like in each of our individual lives. And when we come to the end of 2020 in December, we can look back and see the amazing things we have done. We just pray and ask these things now. In Jesus' name, amen.